Acts chapter 14. Here we go. Now let me set this back up. Remember, this is Paul and Barnabas, and they've been sent out. If you remember in chapter 13, the church sent them out. And so they were going out, they were spreading the gospel. Some people were getting saved. And if you go to 1348, and this is going to help set up chapter 14 as we roll into chapter 14. It says, "Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region." So you see what's happening is Paul and Barnabas, they have gotten serious about spreading the gospel, sharing God's word. People are getting saved, and to us, this would be a glorious time. Amen? This would be a time where we would be rejoicing. We know the Bible says that angels in heaven are rejoicing because souls are getting saved. By the way, for every time a soul gets saved on earth, the angels rejoice. Now, just so that you know, every time you hear a bell ring, angels really do not receive their wings. Just saying. But they do rejoice when a soul gets saved in heaven. And so people are getting saved. Look here in verse 50, 1350. "But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them or kicked them out of their region." And so what did Paul and Barnabas do? They shook the dust off their feet and they moved on. They said, okay, you don't want to hear the gospel, move on. And you know, the reality is, guys, sometimes we just got to move on because sometimes it's just that person's not ready to get saved. God is they're not willing to see Christ. And so Paul and Barnabas set a beautiful example and say, you know what? Listen, they don't want it. They're going to curse you. They're going to rebel against you. So just move on. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go back, but it does mean sometimes that we have to move on. And so this is what they did. They decided to move on. But look here in 51. It says, "But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Listen, they're rejoicing because of souls that are saved. They've not let the persecution get to them. They've not let the fact that they were thrown out of the town get to them. They went on rejoicing for what the Lord has done. As Christians, sometimes we get caught up in the negative and we focus on it. And I want you to see that through this, Paul and Barnabas, they went, you know what? We're rejoicing over what God has done. We really don't give a rip what the world thinks. And sometimes as Christians, that's what we need to learn to do, is move on. Well, they move on, they get to Iconium, and we're in chapter 14. Now, I titled the message this week, "The Mission." The Mission. Because, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was a call to the mission, is where they were called to go out. Now they're on the mission. And guys, I want you to see that as they're on the mission, we have Paul, we have Barnabas. We have two very strong, thunderous men that love Jesus, that are preaching the gospel, that are sharing the word. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it doesn't always go well for them. And for some of you, you're going to use this event in history, you're going to use it as an excuse to be quiet. You're going to use it as an excuse to not share the gospel because you might get hurt. You might get your feelings hurt. You might get your toes stepped on. Somebody might say a cross word to you and you won't like it, and you'll go home weeping and crying and whining and sniveling. Some of you are going to do that. But some of you here today, you're going to see what's going on and you're going to be encouraged by Paul and Barnabas. Because to be honest with you, as you read this, it doesn't always end well for Paul. I don't know why, but we're going to talk about it here in a minute. But Paul takes a horrendous beating. As a matter of fact, it's such a beating that the people left him for dead. Not even where they beat him, but they actually carried him to the garbage dump is what they did. There was a dump outside of the city where all the garbage was thrown on, and it was burning, and it never quit burning. And so when you read Gehenna, it literally means the burning, and this pile of trash outside the city walls burns day and night, never stops. It's not like a huge flame. It's just smoldering constantly, and they throw the trash on it. Well, They beat Paul to the point where they believe he is dead, and they carry him out of the city. They don't throw him directly on the burning part of the pile, but they throw him on the pile of trash. Wow. That's not a good ending, is it? And some of you go, well, I'm not going to share the gospel because I don't want nobody beating me to death. And, well, I'm going to tell you, in the other gospels, we see where they counted it as joy for being worthy enough to be beaten for the gospel. I think in America, we have this twisted sense of entitlement. This twisted sense of nothing should happen to me because I don't want it to happen to me. Nothing bad. And so if it's bad, we don't want anything to do with it. And if it's a risk of being bad, we don't want anything to do with it. And you know what? And how could a loving God let anything bad happen to me because I'm such a good person? Right? Some of us think that way. Amen? I know nobody in here, but you might know somebody that's like that. And in your mind, you're going, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to suffer any. I'm not going to give that because I'm not going to let it cost me. I'm not going to go over here because if I go over here, it's going to be really uncomfortable. And we don't like uncomfortable, so let's come back over here. That's some of our mentality. As I was had this week off and the last week off and vacationing and really enjoying myself. And I think the cruise was about a year too short, give or take a day or two. And I was really just looking at me. You ever do that? You ever get to the point where you just stop and you go, I got to look at myself. I got to examine me. I got to see where I am at. I got to see what's going on in my... By the way, if I move too fast, I'm going to trip and fall on this thing. I got to see where I'm at. What is going on in my life, in my mind, in my heart? And when you disconnect, and by the way, that's really what this cruise did for us. It helped us to disconnect and just stop for a minute. And for me, it really helped me to look at God and to look at John and see how the two come together. And here's what I realized. I've dropped the ball a lot. You ever feel that way where you just keep coming up short? As your pastor, I feel like I just keep coming up short. As your pastor, I sit back and I look at what I could have done. And of course, hindsight is always perfect vision, and you always going, man, I could have done this and I could have said that, and this could have been different and this could have been better. But the truth is, if you look at everything as a whole, I could have done a whole lot more. And I didn't. And you know why I didn't? And as your pastor, this is going to hurt for me to say it, but I got tired. And then I got lazy. Yeah, anybody ever been there? You get tired and then you go, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else handle it. Let somebody else take over. I just don't want to do that today. I'm just tired. You know, is it really worth it? I mean, are we really changing people's lives? Are we really making a difference? Well, God, you know what? I'll tell you what. Just let somebody else have it. And as I was looking back over this last year and everything that was going on, I found that I kept falling short. And I would study this out, and you can ask my wife. I read it 100 times on the ship. And I studied the notes, and I was going over it, and I just couldn't bring it together for whatever reason. And I figured out this morning why I couldn't bring it together. And God's just doing a great work. But I really want you to look at yourself as we look at this. I mean, look at yourself. Go to a mirror. Go in the bathroom. Ladies, you do this all the time. If you're like my daughter, I'm not going to say which one. But all of a sudden, I will go, where is my daughter? And I look, and I see the light on above the door, you know, the crack of the door in the bathroom. And I go, oh, where else would she be? 45 minutes later, the light's on. She's still nowhere to be found. And so I go and knock on a door. Are you still alive in there? What are you doing? My hair. How many different ways, like really? How many ladies, you can do your hair a whole lot of different ways, can't you? Amen? Amen? Any rate. Go to the bathroom, shut the door. Some of you, oh, you probably said, I can't do hair. I'm jealous. That's my mother-in-law. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord. Well, what was really funny is we were out in the hallway there, and Kathy had a hair on her shoulder, and so I took it and like that, and I went like that because you know y'all don't want it, and she goes, oh, I know I shed, and I go, I used to shed and it quit, and she goes, like she never, you're not gonna shed out, no, I shed out, you won't, don't worry about it, but go in the mirror and just look, stop and look in the mirror. In all seriousness, really look at yourself. Like, look yourself in the eye. Don't look at your hair. Don't look at the lack of your hair. Don't look at the pimple on your cheek. Look in the mirror and look yourself in the eye. And see who you really are. Where are you with God? I mean, genuinely, where are you with God? Who are you as a Christian? Are you all about you? Or does the Holy Spirit moving in you mean something to you? Does God mean something to you? Is your Savior, Jesus Christ, precious to you? Because so many of us, we say, oh, I love Jesus, but you know what? Your testimony isn't worth two hoots. I don't know if that's Southern or Northern, but it isn't worth two hoots because you know what? The truth is, your lifestyle stinks. Your ideologies stink. They don't line up with the Bible. They don't line up with the Word of God. And then when the Word of God goes against what you believe, you throw away the Word of God and hold on what you believe. I'm telling you, I'm challenging you today to look at yourself. To really, hey, listen, if I had to go through it, you can go through it. Look at yourself in the mirror and see who you really are. Do you really love Jesus? Look at your life. Well, look here. We see in 13 they get kicked out of town. But they're, hey, listen, they're happy. They're full of joy. Verse 4, or chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium. I love that. Now it happened. Hold on, because you got to remember, the book of Acts is the book of action. The book of Acts is constantly moving. Every chapter, every verse, somebody is doing something, good or bad, but it is constantly moving. And so we see here in 14, now it happened. In Iconium, that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. Now, first off, they had to go to the synagogue first, because if they don't go to the synagogue and speak of the synagogue, they cannot go to the Gentile. They can't do that. You cannot go into somebody else's culture and do it opposite of their culture, because especially at this time, they'll throw you out. It happens anyway, but at least many believed. And so you see that they go to the synagogue, they preach in the synagogue. This way they know that they've already spoken to the Jew, and now since they've spoken to the Jew, they actually have permission because they went through the right order to speak to the Gentiles. So it's very interesting when you read that, don't overlook it. It's very important because they were following the customs, if you will, of the Jews. So in verse 3, therefore they stayed there a long time. Verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Guys, we live in a time where the media are poisoning our minds. Where The truth is not told. Where the lie is told is truth, and the truth is told as a lie. We live in a time where we believe things that are not true. We live in a time where they're pushing things on us, and we are expected to believe it. We are expected to follow it. And listen, they're trying to herd us like sheep to the slaughter. And so as we look at this, guys, that's what I'm telling you. Look at yourself. I mean, who are you in Christ? Who are you? Are you a child of the kings? Or are you the imposter like Judas was? You know, Judas came in. He was part of the 12 only because he wanted the money. But he really wasn't part of the 12, was he? Who are you? And who, look at who is feeding you the garbage. And who is poisoning your mind. You realize that's what the TV's there for? Amen? The TV is there for one reason, to poison our mind. Music. I'm telling you, there's a lot of poison out there. And they're poisoning our minds. And when we look at this right here, but the unbelieving Jews, the unbelieving, the world stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I'm telling you, God was doing a great work, and they were hanging in there, and they were speaking boldly, even though the world was against them. They were trying to poison their mind. And listen, what's going on here is just like what is going on today. There is not a whole lot of difference. Man, we are being poisoned. Right and left. I mean, we're being poisoned by the air. We're being poisoned by our food. We're being poisoned by brainwashing. I'm telling you, the enemy is attacking on every front. And a Christian today have caught this attitude. God is love. Like, really, he is love, but he's just. Everybody has a right to be happy. No, you don't. Everybody deserves to be loved. Let Jesus love you. You understand what I'm saying? It's all these ideologies of the world, and the Christian has bought into them. And the reason the Christian has bought into them, because the Christian doesn't know the Word of God. The Christian doesn't know the God that wrote the Bible. The Christian doesn't know Jesus. Oh, you know Jesus because you may have prayed a prayer, but do you know Jesus because you love him and you invest in the relationship? I'm telling you, I want you to walk out of here today looking at yourself, understanding that the world may come across real nice, but they are slowly poisoning you. And we feel bad but think it's normal now. We use the excuse, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. You better watch out. Look here, and they're even doing signs and wonders. And the people are still rebelling against them, still poisoning their minds. But it's the unbelievers that are poisoning the believers. Did you get that? It's the unbelievers that are attacking you and poisoning your mind. Do you know why? Because Satan knows if he shuts you off, if he shuts you down, if he gets you to join and think like the world, then the influence of God is over. And we are on the last generation of influencing God, because I don't know if you guys realize this, but look around. There are not many young kids and teenagers in church anymore. And those that do go to church, when they get to the school, they don't talk about Jesus. The influence of and the pressures of their peers have just pushed them down. parents. If we don't live it out and teach it and teach it and teach it and talk it and live it, then guess what? It will disappear. Because if you don't put it into your children will not live it out. You got to show your children that Jesus is real, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. And I think the problem is we've allowed the world to poison our mind. We've allowed the world to push us away from what is righteous and holy and make you believe that the world and all it has to offer is good. But if you notice, Satan did it to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You bow down to me and I'll give you this. And the problem is we want what Satan has to offer. Because we like our taste buds now. We like satisfaction now. We can't even wait for anything anymore. We are an instant society. I say we're a microwave society. We want everything instant. We put it in the microwave. It says heat for a minute and a half. At 30 seconds, we're pulling it out, checking it. Right? We can't even wait a minute and a half anymore. We're like, I got to get a bigger microwave. Well, you already got 18,000 watts. I need that 25,000. Well, they don't make it. Well, they're about to because we're going to write a letter. Instant. Instant. Instant everything. Man, I walked up to that ice cream machine and pulled the lever, and so many people were already there before me, and it come out running. I'm going, oh, who's been in my ice cream? I want it now. I'm telling you, we have been, we don't even understand relationships anymore. We talk through electronic equipment. We don't look people in the eye when we talk. We don't look at the depth of their pain. We don't enjoy their joy. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if somebody's got something better than you, and I know nobody's in here, I'm just using you as an example. Nobody here is like that. Somebody gets something better than you, and then we're like, man, why do they have that? I should have that. I love the commercials where they go, buy a new car. You deserve it. You don't even have a job. You don't deserve a new car. You know what I'm saying? Like they've twisted. Listen, if you're in here and don't have a job and you don't have don't take it personal. I was just throwing it out there. But you understand what I'm saying? The world has got us believing that we deserve things that we don't deserve. You don't have to work for it. Listen, good credit, bad credit, no credit, we don't care. Come in and just give us your money because the first time you don't pay, we'll take the car. But they don't care because they just want to pull from you and they want to suck you dry of anything spiritual, of any kind of energy until they brainwash you and have you walking like everybody else. Zombies. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, be ye separate from the world. But we're no different than the world. Most Christians aren't any different. You can't tell them apart because they act just like everybody else. It's just an amazing, amazing thing how in the Word of God is no different than today. It just shows you people don't change. We are the same. Look here in 4. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. They were divided. The Jews had already stirred everything up. I mean, and not just stirred it up to where it got violent. Have you noticed today that people aren't just divided? You know, there was a time when you could have a discussion with somebody and you could have your thought and they could have their thought and you still walked away friends. Today, if you're divided, it gets violent pretty quick, doesn't it? Like, there is no tolerance anywhere. They, you know, the Christian is tolerant. Well, believe whatever you want to believe. But the world says, well, if you don't believe like me, we'll force it down your throat until you cave in and finally believe like we believe. And it's working, isn't it? Because the Christian won't stand. And it says right here, but the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt, listen, a violent attempt, it happened just like it is today where people were shooting people and beating up people. It happened the same way here. The only thing that changes are names, places, faces, and dates. That's it. It says, and that when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers, the government was in on it. And there was no, guys, give, all right, if you are struggling to see and understand what's going on here, just look at the news today. Just look at what's going on. It is no different today than what's happening here. The government is against a Christian. The world has divided Christian against Christian. The world has divided the world against a Christian. I'm telling you, the division is coming and it's getting stronger every day. And the pressure is going to come on you and you're going to be like Peter. You are either going to have to make a decision for Christ or you're going to walk away from Christ. And I don't know that we're going to hear the cock crow three times or twice before we deny him three times. I just don't know. But I'm seeing it happen. And if you guys look, you'll see that it's happening as well. See, I didn't preach last week. I'm a little wound up this week. Verse 5, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. Anybody ever watch the new Third World News? Are you watching that Christians are getting martyred by the hundreds, the thousands? Every day Christians are dying. Are you watching this? People say, oh, the Christian is not oppressed. I'm telling you, the Christian is oppressed. The world does not want to hear that you can have life in Christ. Their hope is in the government. Their hope is in the money. Their hope is in the job they have. Their hope is in everything else but the one who created them. So they were looking to stone them. Verse 6, by the way, we're never going to get to verse 28. Verse 6, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. They never quit, guys. The oppression came. They were pushed from one place to another, but they never quit. And I am challenging you today. Don't quit. I'm challenging you today to go home, get by yourself, and I mean truly get by yourself where nobody else is around, and look at yourself. Who are you? Who are you? Are you a hypocrite? Do you go one place and you're somebody, and then you go somewhere else and you're somebody else? You guys know what I'm talking about? Where you're the chameleon, you just fit in wherever you go, you blend in. Is that who you are? Are you the chameleon? That's a hypocrite in the way the Christian looks at it, and the world, by the way. Everybody knows what a hypocrite looks like. Who are you? Who are you? Are you letting the world push you around? Are you letting the world poison your mind? Are you letting the world allowing the world to determine you and your future and your destiny and your day? Are you allowing the world to determine that for you? Because whether you walk in Christ or you don't walk in Christ is going to be that's going to determine your day. And who you allow to push you in that direction, one way or the other, either for or against Christ. I mean, who are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? Who do you love? Who are you going to serve? These are all questions, guys, that I'm going to be honest with you, I had to answer. I had to look at myself and answer these questions. And so I thought, since I had the joy of doing that, I'd let you have the joy of doing that as well. Somebody say amen. Thank you. We'll go on to 8 next week. Here's my challenge for you guys today. Look at yourselves. The pressure is going to come. Read the rest of this chapter. You're going to see the pressure is going to come. And it may not get comfortable. And you know what? You might get your feelings hurt. And you might get beat up. You'll find as the chapter goes on that that's what happens with Paul. But you also find that Paul never quits. He never changes directions. He never bows down. He never cowers away. He stands firm. He stands tall. And he serves Jesus. He doesn't allow the world to poison their mind. He doesn't allow the pressures of those that hate him determine what he's going to do. He lives for Jesus because he knows who he is in Christ, and he knows that Christ is his Savior. As you look through chapter 14, this is what you will find out. And so today, that's the question for you. You're on mission. The mission is to find out who you are. The mission is to find out, do you really love Jesus? The mission is to find out, are you the hypocrite? The mission is to determine, are you genuine? The mission. Is to know your identity. Because once you know who you are, then you can figure out where you're going from there. You actually get direction. If you're a child of God, you act like a child of God. If you're not a child of God, then you act like the world. But choose this day whom you will serve. The mission. Paul and Barnabas was on the mission, and it didn't go real well, but you know what? It kept going. We need to keep going. We need to know who we are. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the problems. Lord, I thank you for the pleasures. Lord, I just thank you today. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to see in men's lives that have served you and have never quit. Lord, thank you for allowing us to see that. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of the mission. And Lord, as we go on our own mission this week, determining who we are, finding out who we really love and what we really love, Lord, I pray your hand on each and every person in here. Lord, that as they go on the mission to see themselves for who they really are, Lord, that you would expose them so that, Lord, that they see who they are. And Lord, whatever it is that isn't good, they fix it. And Lord, if they're serving another God other than you, then Lord, that they get rid of that false God and they serve you. Lord, whatever it is, as we are on mission to see who we are, to find out the true us, Lord, help us with that. Guide us and direct us. And then, Lord, when we see something we don't like, give us the courage to change it, not just live with it. Lord, give us the courage to do what is right in your sight, not just make up excuses and say, that's who I am. But Lord, that we change who we are and become like Christ is. Lord, I'm praying that you use us in an incredible way. That you use this church. Lord, that you use every church preaching the gospel, every Christian that claims they love Jesus. Lord, that you use us in such a way as to turn this world upside down. That you are glorified and we are strengthened to walk the walk, to talk the talk, and to glorify you through it all. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.